Please turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and follow along, please, as I read beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is written here, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts. And because we've spent time together with you, with one another, in your word will have an impact upon us that will affect, if not how we live today, we'll store it so that when we need it, we'll have it. Our needs are as unique as we are. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, we're probably in the last chapter of the last letter that Paul ever wrote. It is certainly the last chapter of the last letter that we have. It is very personal. Right from the start, when we began 1 Timothy and then studied Titus and now 2 Timothy, right from the start, we said that these were letters written to pastors, Timothy and Titus. Titus actually being more than simply a pastor, but an overseer of several churches, but wanting to have an impact upon a pastor's heart. And so I said when we started this, that's where I would start. First, what is God through Paul telling me? But I also made it very clear that just because Paul is writing to me, that doesn't mean he's not writing to you. It doesn't mean that these principles, these challenges, don't have anything to do with you. They at least tell you what you should expect of me. And from time to time, I've reminded you that these challenges to me are at least in part to be an example to you and what is expected of you as well. And so if you leave here and miss everything else, don't miss this. Fulfill your ministry. Whatever it is God has called you to, I'm not the only one here this morning with a ministry. If you are here this morning in Christ, You have a God-given, God-empowered ministry. As I challenged Zach this morning, as a member, ownership, responsibility, to what? Well, as a believer, he, like you, have been given a divine gift, a way to serve the church. And that gifting and that serving is as different and as unique as we are. But we all have one. And so while the challenge to me is, Dan, fulfill your ministry, and we'll talk more about that, you need to leave here with that same challenge. What's my responsibility? What have I been doing? What have I been supposed to be doing? And do it. Paul says to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Timothy, as I start this last chapter, and Paul wasn't thinking in terms of chapters, they are there so that we can keep track, but he knows he's about to bring this to a conclusion. There are some things I want to say to you, and I want you to know where they come from. They come from God himself. These are not my words. This is not my charge. This is his to you. He is the one who will judge the living and the dead. It is his appearing that we look forward to. And it is his kingdom that we serve. So, it is his evaluation that matters. Timothy, Pastor Dan, I understand. You have a church board. You have a church that you serve. That's the immediate feedback that you get. But don't forget this. It's his evaluation that matters most. Do you speak to me? Absolutely. Do you direct me? Absolutely. Do I need to listen to you? Absolutely. But it all has to go through the grid of what God has said. And that's not some subjective mystic thing. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Paul gave to Timothy, Paul gave to Titus, Paul gave to the church very clear instructions about the person and the work of the pastor. Some of the details, well, they're left to us. So we listen to one another. But at the end of the day, when the ministry is done, it's his evaluation that will truly matter. So, while you can, Timothy, preach the word. Now, the significance of that comes down here in verses 3 and 4, but that's okay. Here's the charge. Preach the word. No matter what else is going on around you, no matter what else you see modeled, even in other churches, no matter what, preach the word. When you sit down, when you are done, make sure those who have listened to you have been confronted with, challenged, encouraged by the word of God. Not what you think, but what God has said. Preach the word. And so to the church. Make sure your pastor is teaching, preaching the word. Not some popular thought. Not his thoughts. God would say, make sure he's teaching my thoughts. Be ready in season and out of season. Always prepared. Always available. I don't know how many of you the name Erwin Lutzer means anything. I hope for some of you the name Moody Church means something. But for 35 years, Dr. Erwin Lutzer served as the pastor of Moody Church. While we were there, his predecessor, Warren Wiersbe, was the pastor. One day, Dr. Lutzer and his family were visiting the Moody Church. Now, just visiting. As he was walking in, Dr. Wiersbe passes him, and he has his coat on. And he stopped him, and he said, "Pastor, service in 10 minutes. Where are you going?" He said, "Oh, Erwin, I feel awful. Would you preach for me this morning?" Dr. Lutzer grabbed an envelope, wrote some notes about a reminder of a message he'd preached not too awfully long ago, and preached that morning. Sometime later, Dr. Wiersbe determined that it was time for him to retire from full-time ministry that way. And he recommended to the church that they consider Dr. Lutzer. And for 35 years, he served as the pastor of the church. Because he was always prepared. Because when someone asked, "Would you teach this morning? Would you preach this morning?" he could. Always be prepared. Prepared to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Words that are, they're not synonymous, but we can put them together and at least see the idea of convicting and encouraging. Taking people from where they are and moving them to where they need to be. There are some folks who today will hear something that the Bible says that I emphasize in some way. There will be those who will hear it, and some will be convicted. They'll say, "I didn't know that," or "I've been missing that," or "I've been ignoring that," or "That's something I need to address in my life." And then there will be others who will hear something and they'll think, "You know, I thought that's what I should have been doing. I'm glad to know I've made the right choice here. I'm glad to know that I'm moving in the right direction," and they will be encouraged. Regularly, you hear me say that a message, whether it's something I'm teaching or someone else is teaching, that it will convict those who need to be convicted, challenge those, I like the word challenge those who need to be challenged, and encourage those who need to be encouraged. Because when we're confronted with the Word of God, one or the other should happen. Whether it's, "I need to make some changes," or, "It's so good to hear that again. one or the other should be our response. And then he says to do it with great patience and instruction. And I put those together and simply think in terms of restoration. Teach in such a way that God's word is clearly presented. It convicts, challenges those who need to be challenged. It encourages those who need to be encouraged. And it's done in such a way so that the result is restoration. Remember, the desired result is never to beat somebody down and leave them there. While the desire at one point may be to convict someone of their sinfulness, it's never to leave them there. But to add and make sure they understand that God loves them and that Jesus died for them because they are sinners. The goal is restoration. The goal is salvation. And one little key in this is that word exhort. It's the same word that Jesus used to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. When he told his disciples that he needed to go away, and when he would go away, that the Father would send the Spirit, he uses this word because it means someone who will come right alongside you. And that person who's walking right there beside you, he will be a challenger. Sometimes. He will be an encourager sometimes. Because the goal is always the same, to help you be the person God wants you to be. What a better way is there to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Preach while you can. Why? Well, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, the first question we have to ask and answer is, who are they? Who's he talking about? It would be really easy to shove this off onto the world and say, well, you know, the world isn't going to be interested in the church. Why? Well, because we're not telling the world what the world wants to hear. And that's a true statement, if we're being true to Scripture. That's a true statement. However, Paul's concern almost always is not for the state of the world, but for the state of the church. What's the church doing? The world will do what the world does. But if the church is not the church, if the church is not teaching God's word, if the church is not salt and light, it will have no impact upon what's going on out here. So Paul is referring to the church. There will come a time when the church, or at least those who think of themselves as the church, will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They will decide what they want to hear, and that's what they'll want to, only what they want to hear, and they will only tolerate teachers who teach what they want to hear. We are who we are. We want a teacher who will tell us we're okay. Whoever we are, whatever we're doing. And Paul is saying, don't do that, Timothy. There will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine and they will turn aside to myths. They will leave what the Word of God says and follow simply what they want to. Timothy, this will come. This will come from within and without. Now, again, Paul is talking to Timothy, and his concern most greatly is for the church. And as soon as we stray from the book and start teaching what we think others want to hear, and there is no challenge, there is no encouragement to godliness, we can teach anything, we can believe anything. And when the church does that, it sets itself up for the world to come in and say, there are some things you should not, cannot teach. And we are really close here. There are places in what we would consider the Western world, the civilized world, where much of God's word is now considered hate speech. And more that's creeping into our culture and our society. If you start to tell someone there is an objective standard for truth, that they are wrong, not because you say they're wrong, but they are wrong because God's word says what they're doing is wrong, that's hate speech. That's hatred directed toward them. And there are places today where that can be prosecuted, not persecuted, prosecuted. So, Timothy, preach the word while you can, because even within the church, there will come the temptation to only tolerate what they want to hear. But you, be sober in all things. Your Bible maybe says, keep your head. Stay alert. Be aware of what's going on. Endure hardship. And you know, he doesn't say if and when it comes, but just endure it. There will be challenges. People will question you. Just make sure that when they question you, they're questioning God's word. Not what you think, not what you said, but what God's word says. If the church starts to think that some of what you're saying is hate speech, make sure that what they're hearing is what I said, the Bible. When the world judges what you're saying, make sure they're judging and dealing with what I have said, not what you think. And when the hardship comes, endure it. And then do the work of an evangelist. We mentioned this not too awfully long ago. Timothy evidently wasn't bent that way. I'm not bent that way. I know a lot of men who are. They can't meet somebody without sharing the gospel in some way. They just can't. Hi, how are you? Are you going to heaven? I mean, it just happened. It's not fake. It's not anything like that. It's just who they are. They can't meet somebody and leave them without knowing their eternal status. They just can't. And Paul's telling Timothy, you may not be bent that way either, but do the work of an evangelist. Make sure that people know that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. They've got to know that. Make sure you tell them that. Most of them won't believe it, but that's all right. Make sure in some way that you're comfortable with, so it's truly genuine. Make sure you let people know that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. And in doing that, you fulfill your ministry. What God has called you to do. You complete your job. And what I pray for regularly, to finish well. To bring no disgrace, first of all, upon my Savior, and then upon His church, or my family. But finish your job. Get her done. Which suggests to me that if I'm drawing breath here, I'm not done yet. There's still something to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge those who need to be challenged, encourage those who need to be encouraged, and prepare our hearts for service this week. May we all serve you well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.